Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com, also on www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2016, and my guest today is editor-contributor for Veterans Today, Dr. Preston James. So, Preston, how are you, sir? Welcome.
Good. Thanks for having me on, Mike. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good today. Like I said, I was telling you before the show, I'm a little tired, a little run down. I woke up at 3:50 a.m. this morning and couldn't sleep, so I got up and went to the gym. And it kind of threw my schedule off. Instead of sleeping until 6 or so, I was just up way, way, way early. But it's all good. Got a good workout in, and you're paying the price for it now.
Well, that's making lemonade out of a lemon, right?
I guess so. You know, I guess I try, but I tell you what, you know, this working out thing, it's, you know, the older I get, the harder it is. I mean, it's,
yeah.
The other thing is weightlifting. This is the only thing I've ever discovered in this life that the better you get at it, the harder it becomes.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because the weights go up, you know, I mean,
if you get too much muscle mass in martial arts, it can slow you down too.
I've not had that experience.
You haven't heard that before?
Nope. I think that's a myth.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. The key is to retain your flexibility.
Well, that's the key. But some of these guys go too far with the bulk, you know, just lifting type stuff, and they don't maintain the stretching and all that.
Well, that's fundamental. You have to keep up with that. I don't stretch as good as I used to either. That's the other thing I don't like. You know, I tell you. This is wine. This is Mike whining day here today is what this is. So anyway, what's new in your world?
Oh, let's see. I just think the geopolitical situation is extremely tense, and the network news, which is really an illegal news cartel, it's just filled with total lies. You know, the only way you're going to find out what's going on is going to Veterans Today and to, you know, read, you know, Russia Today and Press TV and various things and sort through all that. And it's the more you read, the more tense it really is. I think this Erdogan has gone off his rocker. I think he's playing with fire. I think he's pushing to the limit. And I'm really surprised that President Putin has put up with all the crap that he has from this guy, where he shot down his plane, he's attacked his troops, he's, you know, attacked his ally continually. I mean, I'm really surprised that there's been so much restraint there. But as you know, the senior directors at VTE, especially Gordon Duff, had stated that NATO has really abandoned him and said, if you want to start something with the Russians, we're not stepping in. So that, of course, is quite a major thing, because it means, you know, who's going to protect him? Are the Saudis, are they going to protect him? I mean, we know that.
No. You know, here's the thing with the Saudis. You know, the Saudis are a wimpy people. Let's just call them what they are. They're wimpy. You know, they act all tough because they have a lot of money. They can hire mercenaries and stuff. But as far as a fighting force, you know, the Saudi, if it's truly a Saudi army, they're a bunch of sissies. I hate to say it, but they are. And you know, they may have a few guys who are. You know, some have some merit to them, but as a fighting force, you know, I think there is, like, you know, eighth or ninth rate, not even first rate, much less second rate. They're an eighth or ninth rate force. Anyway,
well,
I'll probably get myself hung when I
well, no, but the point is we know that the Saudis have played all sides. You know, they're really, I mean, you know, as long as everybody loves them, as long as they're spending their money and buying arms and all this kind of stuff. And they, of course, they've had a huge arms buildup. And we know that the Israelis sold mini nukes or battlefield nukes, strategic nukes to Turkey. You know, we know that. And we know the Americans, you know, under Bush 2 had, and even Bush 1 was involved, Cheney and those cowboys had sold nukes to the North Koreans, you know, centrifuges and all that, and black helicopters and all kinds of weird weapons, and you know, everybody blames the Chinese for this North Korean bad boy, but it's really the Americans that built him up as a bugaboo. Well, you know, they needed an enemy there.
Well, that's the thing. You know, the U.S. has always been they've cultivated their own demons. You know, they'll build a guy up. I mean, look what they did to Saddam Hussein. They held him up. They supported him. He was their dictator for a long time. They decided to turn on him. All of a sudden, he's the worst guy in the world. You think they haven't done that a time or two around the world?
Well, okay, so Mike, how explosive do you think the situation is in the Middle East right now?
I think it's getting better, actually. I did talk to Nahed al-Husseini the other day. She's pretty distraught about everything that's going on over there, but she's been in the middle of it. She's been in the middle of the war zone now, and they've been bombing Damascus and stuff. But we're trying to look to see this thing ramp down.
They're still bombing Damascus?
There have been some ISIS incidents. Mortars were the last. That was a week or so ago.
Shelling, huh? Wow.
Yeah, but you know, this is not what you want to live with. This is not how it goes. No. But there's been a number of ceasefire violations, primarily on the side of Turkey and their mercenaries who call themselves ISIS. But it's tense. The good news is that the Syrian Arabic army is getting some rest, and they're getting resupplied, reprovisioned, and they're getting ready for the next push to end ISIS. That's what's going on behind the scenes.
Right. And why has the Russian air power that's been so successful in Syria been able to clear out Damascus?
No, what's it? Repeat the question.
Okay. Well, on one side of Damascus, though, they've had these constant incursions from ISIS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mortars and artillery and all that. Was it just so dispersed and hidden that it's hard to get them all, or what is it?
Well, they do the hit and run thing, you know. And I'll tell you, my last trip out, when I was leaving Damascus going back to Beirut, we were stopped four times, and each time they gave the vehicle not an inspection, but I mean a thorough inspection. Yeah. I mean, you had to open up the trunk, you had to take out your bags, you had to pull out the spare tire, bounce it on the ground, make sure it had air in it. That was really a tire. They looked in the engine compartment, they looked in every nook and cranny under the seats, everywhere they possibly could, looking for anything at all. And they were very, very thorough. And I tell you, you know, for the conditions that they're enduring, Assad has done a remarkable job keeping the country together and the people together. Yeah. And it's the fact that other countries, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, even the U.S., do not respect the Syrian borders. I mean, come on. It's not your country. You know it's not. You know you're trespassing. You know you're having an armed incursion into another country. Right. I'd like to see the Syrians really whack these guys.
Well, you heard that Robert Kennedy Jr. a few days ago came out and said that this was all about this oil and gas pipeline system that the Israelis and the Turks wanted to run, you know, to Europe. Is that true?
Well, that's one of the considerations. There is alternate pipeline, dueling pipelines, if you will. The Turks and the Israelis and the Saudis want to control the route that goes through there. That's what they want to do. Yeah. However, the Iranians and the Russians have another plan. And that is one of the mitigating factors as to why this war is going on.
But why this obsession to depose Assad? It's almost like they can't sleep. They're just so obsessed with it. They're just crazy.
You know, I don't know what the axe they have to grind with Assad is. But let's do a little history lesson here. I mean, his father ruled the country for a very long time, very stable, was a strong Soviet supporter, was a Soviet ally. The Israelis poisoned him. He died. Yeah. Then his brother was the one who was the heir apparent, who was groomed to take the helm after the father had passed. And then the brother was mysteriously killed in a car accident where a rather large truck ran a light and ran over him, hit him.
Yep.
You know, in the vehicle. And so you look at this guy. I mean, Assad himself is trained in London. We had a practice as an ophthalmologist. And
People had said he didn't even want to be the ruler.
He didn't want to be the ruler. He was not the guy. You know, he wanted to go live his life and do his thing and let his father and brother run the country. You know, that was their business, not his. But he got sucked into it. And this is a guy who stepped up. You know, I mean, this is a man who stepped up to the occasion. And I think very well of him. I don't think that he's the bad guy that they're painting him as in the Western media. I think he's done a pretty decent job running the country of Syria, and I think he does well by the Syrian people. They all love him.
He's very popular, isn't he?
Well, you got 86% of the vote last election. I mean, now you show me anybody in the U.S. who's had that in the last number of years.
But is this Erdogan really gone off his rocker? I mean, if he's tangling with Russia continually provoking them, and NATO's expressed, don't come to us for help. If you're going to do this, you're off the reservation. Don't you think that he's putting himself in a very dangerous position?
Well, that should be obvious at face value, Jim. That's not even a question worth asking. It's very obvious. And Erdogan would not do this unless somebody has been giving him signals that it's okay. So who do I look at who might be giving him signals? The chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee might be talking to Erdogan.
McCain.
Saying, you ought to be doing this.
Yeah.
There are elements within the U.S., both elected and the bureaucratic elements in the U.S., that do not like Obama, do not like the policies, do not like what Obama's done with Iran, and the nuclear deal there that took the sanctions off them. But there's people who want to stir the pot, who want to keep this thing at war. And so it's quite sad. So we need to clean house, and I tell you, this allows me a nice segue into this Trump discussion here. And that is, I look at the Republican establishment, and I look at these guys. I think, God, what a bunch of dirtbags! You know what I mean? They're all on the payroll of this gangster, this Sheldon Adelson guy. I mean, gambling, prostitution, drug trafficking, money laundering, human trafficking. This is what the guy does. That's how he's made his billions. They're all in his back pocket. They're all on his payroll, and If it's good for the Republican establishment, it's probably bad for me. If it's bad for the Republican establishment, it's probably good for me. So I'm looking at this Trump character and say, God, they really hate him. There must be something about him I like.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I called up a friend of mine who used to go in his office about once a month, and they said, tell me everything bad about the guy. And he said, there's nothing bad to say about him. He's obsessed with building big buildings, doing a good job. He was taught at an early age by his father, never violate your word. If you give your word, do it no matter what. And they don't have to renegotiate contracts with him, and he gets the job done. And, he just considered a rock-solid person. So that's all I know. I couldn't get anything negative to him other than his obsession with building big, perfect buildings.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
if you're going to put up a building, build up something that's decent, something that's nice.
Yeah, and but I guess he's happiest when he would build these things and everybody'd move in, and all the people would be going in and out, and he felt, all these jobs and stuff. That's where he really got his enjoyment from, is seeing people working, and so he has a history of that sort of thing, which is no. But the fact that the establishment's so against him, you made a very good point, and so as Benjamin Fulford stated just recently that. The reason the establishment is against him, Republican and Democrat, is because he never went through any of the secret society ritual initiations, and he's not.
That's what Gingrich came out and said on Fox News a week or so ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Gingrich came out and said on Fox News that the Republican establishment is afraid of him because he's not a member of the secret societies, and
I'm shocked that Gingrich would say that.
Wow. They don't. Well, it was on the news. It was on Fox News. So
well, that means they can't trust him. They don't know what he's going to do. What if he turns out to be a real American patriot? Then what? Then they really got a problem, right?
Yep. Then they really have a.
Yeah,
so what else?
The stuff that I know, I don't like, the alien business, and I'm forced to believe things I don't want to believe. I don't want to believe them at all, and I keep trying to undo it in my mind, but I keep running into situations where it's kind of imposed on me. I don't know how much to say, because unless you're in these situations, of course, they're sort of incredulous.
Well, we've got a very open-minded audience. And if it's happened to you, maybe it's happened to somebody else out there too. So why don't you go ahead and share?
Well, I was with this friend of mine on a recent trip, which you know about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down to visit one of your acquaintances. It was a very mm-hmm. interesting trip. And so I have this friend who's somewhat skeptical about alien ET matters and whatever, but, you know, he's a real smart guy and stuff, but he was in, you know, law enforcement for many years, and so he tends to, you know, he wants to see the hard evidence with his own two eyes. It's not that he just doesn't believe, but he just has to see it. Has to be courtroom ready. That's the kind of person that he is.
Mm-hmm.
So on the way down, he's opening his pill bottle, you know, his suitcase, opens his pill bottle to take a pill, because he's like me, he's old, and the cap disappeared in his hand. He kind of freaked a little bit, you know. I said, what the hell, cap? And the cap's gone. I said, don't worry, it's a time warp, it'll show up tomorrow probably. So tomorrow when he goes in there to get his pills, he pulls the pill thing out and the cap appears.
No, I've had things like that happen before too, where you set something down, you know where you put it, you turn your back on it for 2 seconds, you come back and it's gone, and you look high and low, you look on the desk, you look under the desk, you look to the left, look to the car, you look in the seat, you look in the creases around the where the cushions are, you look nowhere. You leave the room, you come back, you know, 20, 30 minutes later, there it is.
Yeah. You ever had an object like be taken out of your house and put outside in your a work area like the garage or car or something like that?
What do you mean?
Well, I've had that happen where I will set down a glass and go to reach for it and it'll be gone. I'll find it in another room or maybe out in the shop or something like that.
Oh, that's just your Alzheimer's kicking in.
I know. That's what I keep hoping for.
Yeah.
And then weird electrical stuff on the internet where, and this is probably the fusion centers doing it, but like I was having all this trouble with Skype today, and what they've gone in is messed up the programming, so it was some little change to it so that it wouldn't come up. And I had to go back and restore it. And by the way, now it works, so when the break comes, we can flip over to that. But, this kind of stuff, I call it AI, artificial intelligence stuff. I think that they have, you know, lists of people that they watch and, I think when you get into a certain subject area you don't like, then they exercise various options to obstruct your communications. Probably the worst case I had was I was working in my office. A friend of mine called up on the phone. I was on the other side of the house. I didn't get to the phone fast enough. He flipped over the phone recorder, so I let him. I figured I'd call him right back, so I let the recording go, and he just left a message. So when it was done, I went and played the message. I heard it live. I heard over the speaker him dictating the message. So I go and play the message back. It comes out different than what he said, a different time that we were supposed to meet. So I called him back. He said, no, I said such a time. I heard it right. So whatever it is, they got some kind of logic circuit in my answering machine where they can switch that, you know, at the phone company, through the phone.
You know, the thing of it is, most electronics have logic circuits in there that aren't even being used, particularly if they use any of the field programmable arrays, that they'll always have extra real estate on there that isn't being used that can be reconfigured remotely. It's people don't know this stuff about electronics, but I do. You know, I cut my teeth and grew up in the semiconductor industry, so it's kind of fascinating.
Well, this is kind of, have you ever heard of such a thing where they, and it wasn't a perfect job morphing the words, but it was enough where it would have fooled me if I hadn't, you know, if I listened closely. It was have you ever had that sort of thing happen? And they actually have, I have an advertisement once from about 15 years ago of a secret seminar where a friend of mine went to and gave this to me, and Reno was there speaking. It was Bill Clinton was president. And they were advertising morphing stuff. They could do live morphing on any phone conversation. Have you ever heard of that before?
You know, I have, because everything is now digitized, and they can take it and really morph it nearly real time. I mean, like it or not, when you're talking on a cell phone, there is a couple second delay out there, and it's all this packet insertion technology that they use out there. And I've heard of that before, that they can say things. If it's happened to me, I didn't know it. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think they're careful about how they use it, but where the, you know, they use it in some of their investigations. And then there's this issue where you have the NSA high technologies that now that have been, because of Homeland Security, these things have bled down, and you have these police departments using some of these $100,000 apparatuses that will tap into all the cell phones in one whole city. You've seen that stuff?
Yeah, that article you sent me the other day about all those technologies that are available. What was the one that they had that they can put a drone that'll fly down the street and listen to every conversation at street level and record them all? I mean, we're talking real time. If you and I were walking down the street, this thing will fly overhead, record every word we say, and we'll never even know it's there.
Yeah, and track you, too, by GPS. But the thing that really shocked me the most was years ago, the police departments had no money for any of this crap, none of it. And once we got Homeland Security in, what they do is they all take trips to Langley and they tour the police chief. Sometimes the military comes in with a bag of cash. We have first-hand reports of military people in plainclothes coming in with a bag of $100,000 to $200,000 in unmarked bills for the police chief. If you sign this thing and submit to us, you sign jurisdiction over to us on any matter we so choose, here's money for your police department. We don't care what you do, whether you want to pocket it, you want to spend it on the department, whatever you want to do, it's off the books. This is, you know, this is for some of the difficult people, but a lot of them fly to Langley. I know because I know a situation locally where that happened. Fly the police chief to Langley, he goes through the junket, drinks the Kool-Aid, and they soften him up a little bit, and then they say, oh, by the way, we have this new, you know, internet or this new national international law enforcement. We're working with Interpol. We got Homeland Security stuff, but we're dealing with international terrorism now, and no local police department has the ability to deal with this. You need our resources, and in order for us to move quickly, because of the possibility of nuclear devices and biological weapon devices, we want you to sign over jurisdiction so that we don't longer have to come in and you know, we don't have to go through the sheriff anymore. This that you have signed over jurisdiction to us at our discretion so we can move quickly.
The thing is, a police department cannot circumvent jurisdiction that the sheriff has.
They have no right, do they?
No, they do not. That would be like, me advertising my neighbor's car and selling it for him and pocketing the money. You know, the sheriff is constitutionally mandated that.
But the police chiefs are signing this, and one local one that I know of in return. Well, one, the first guy refused, and he came down with CIA flu and had to retire, couldn't go up and down the stairs. Came a strange neurological disease because he refused. The other guy that came in after him quickly signed it and got two armored cars, you know, full auto machine guns, the whole nine yards, all kinds of armor.
Let me give you an example of what happened in real life. You know, my friend, Sheriff Larry Deaver, was murdered 2 years ago or so. A single car accident. This is a guy who I never, in the years I knew him, I never saw him take a drink ever, not in private, not in public, never took a drink. And he had a .32 alcohol level of Cochise County, Arizona, a border county. Once he was out of there, then all of a sudden all these upgrades come into the Cochise County Sheriff's Department, all paid for by the Walton Foundation.
Yes.
And so I just look at these little things that happen, how they happen. There's no doubt in my mind that Larry Deaver was murdered. That it was a setup, a single car accident.
Why was he a threat? Because he was functioning as a constitutional sheriff.
Functioning as a constitutional sheriff, and he was doing an efficient job keeping the cartels out of his county and from crossing the border with contraband and human trafficking. He was being very efficient. That was not a pathway for them. Now it is.
Well, as you know, and I was told this years ago by people in the DEA, I was told two things. One,
hold them, because we got our break right here. So hold on to those thoughts. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes, folks. More with Dr. Preston James right after this.
Can you hear me, Brett? Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Mike Harris on www.veteranstoday.com, also on freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2015. My guest is Veterans Today contributor, Dr. Preston James. Preston, welcome back, sir.
Good. Can you hear me all right now? My Skype is working.
I can hear you fine. You sound good. And you're going to make two points. You're going to tell us two things.
Well, I was just going to say that there was a DEA agent that told me even years ago, he said that every major at that time, every major Wall Street bank, that the majority of their money was made from money laundering was the primary source, and then weapon sales a second source. So that drugs and war were big business. He also told me, he said that, and this was, to me, I'd never heard this before, it was outrageous at the time, but he told me that all the drug cartels, especially the Colombian cartels, but Mexico, all of them were all started by the CIA and working in cooperation with other agencies such as the Nazi Fourth Reich, the which some people call the DVD, the Mossad, and even some other agencies. And the sad part about the whole deal is that in every major city, there are payoffs, and I don't know who it goes to, but apparently the establishment, 10% is a standard payoff to bring narcotics into American cities. And it's still the same today. I've checked with somebody that was formerly an investigator recently, and he said it's the same thing today. That so you have what you have, Mike, and this is nothing new to you, but what you have is you have a series of secret societies that are associated with the banksters, the Khazarian mafia, that it's kind of like, you know, the, you remember what Al Capone and Meyer Lansky organized everything. They had the commission, but they had all the family leaders in the commission before they whacked anybody that was a member of Cosa Nostra. They had to get permission of the commission. Well, it's kind of like that. You have this Khazarian mafia is really a collection of all these various underworlds, but they love these intel agencies love to work through the underground. They go in and they work with them, and they take them over, and they say, we've got, you know, like the FBI's typical game used to be like in Vegas, is they, we've got all the goods on you, we can put you away for life, or we have a choice. You can work with us, you can have our tax auditors in there, we can have, you know, the IRS in there and have the state tax people and the city tax people, and we can take our cut right there, and we can all be in business together. You don't have to go to jail. You can be a confidential informant. We can all be happy. You know, and that's that's the way they take these things over. So what we have is an intersection between these secret societies who run the people that run our government, and they also use the government to run interference. They use the FBI, they use various government agencies to run interference for these criminal enterprises. For example, the DEA in my own community for years, the DEA was bringing in massive amounts of drugs to sell to the school kids, and what they would say was, these are controlled deliveries. So anybody that went to the feds, which I did, got nothing, got nowhere, just got harassed. They never did anything because they're all legal controlled deliveries. It's none of your business. We're going after Mr. Big. But I said, look, you've been going after Mr. Big for 20 years. When are you going to get him? They never get him. They just end up on the street, and they bust the little guy once in a while. And usually they bust people when the price starts dropping too low. So it's the whole system is disgusting. It's got to end. The lies have to stop. And the reason nobody on the street knows any of this, the public cannot know it, is because you have these six major network news moguls, which form actually a virtual news cartel or an illegal.
No. It's a propaganda cartel. There's no news to it. It's propaganda cartel. Let's call it what it is. Yeah. See, capturing and using the right language is really important for us.
Yeah.
If we call it a news cartel, we give it credibility. It's not news. It's propaganda.
That's right.
It's a propaganda cartel.
They're impersonating news, and they got people believing it's news, but you're right. It's total propaganda, which is false narratives and big lies. So you have these news moguls who are really quite colorful individuals that pretend to fight between each other and all stuff, yet they play golf at the same country clubs, but it's all for show. All they're bitching and nagging with each other and hiring their best people back and forth, and you know, all their threats against each other. It's all for show. They all work for this one large investment house, and they all get their talking points, and they know if they stepped out of line, they would be taken care of rather quickly. You know, the American people, they've been fed this crap, this propaganda, Mike, ever since, well, 50 years, but ever since they assassinated Jack Kennedy and instituted this.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Jack Kennedy was the guy who said that in a famous speech, you can find it on YouTube. He says that America cannot tolerate, is a country of transparency and cannot tolerate secret societies. And he talked about it openly, and he was dead weeks later.
Well, that's right. And of course, what we know is that Donald Trump is not a member of any secret societies. And guess what? Bernie is not one either. And he's, you know, I don't like what he stands for or anything else, but I will say that he's the Democrats hate him for what he's done, because he's raised up all these issues about the banking and foreign profits stored and all this kind of. I don't know how heavy he's hit on free trade, but you know, he's not an establishment guy.
Oh, he's been hitting free trade hard. He's been banging that gong. He's almost as good at that as I am.
So, you know, you can imagine how frustrating it must be for these people that like him, because they have this super delegate situation. You know, there was a rumor that Hillary was paying super delegates, or at least, I don't know if it was her, but her campaign people were paying him $100,000, certain key ones, to give her a guaranteed vote at the superdelegate level. I mean, that's the kind of crap we're up against, you know, so.
Well, you know, it's my opinion that Bernie is probably going to win more votes in the primary than Hillary does, but somehow Hillary's going to cheat him out of it.
Yeah.
Just somehow, you know.
Yeah.
I just see it coming. I think the same thing that they're going to try to do with Trump.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear about that secret meeting over the weekend that they had at Sea Island or whatever it is?
I heard they were second-rate losers, that they have no power, the people that met.
I don't know. The CEO of Apple, the CEOs of Google, you know, all these big, Paul Ryan, a bunch of hitters there, you know, were there. Allegedly, there were 39 private jets flew in that day.
But so these are the money people. These are the money people.
The money people, and you know, they're the ones who want to stop Trump.
You know, the thing is, though, actually they have no power in the hierarchy. They're only good for they pay their money and they get their protection. They do what they're told. You know the story about Bill Gates and you know what happened to him as far as the government, don't you? Why he
go ahead. Okay. Tell.
Well, Bill Gates, you know, was very independent businessman that just happened to, of course, nothing. He invented nothing original. That was all, I think it was IBM that came up with the logos and stuff on the, but it was not him. He just took it and marketed it. So, you know, he got a lot of credit. But anyway, what happened is the government went to him and said, we want you to work for us. We want you to put back doors in and all this kind of stuff. We want to access things for intelligence reasons. We don't want warrants and all this kind of crap. We want you to help us. And he told me, he said, absolutely not. I'm totally committed to freedom and the Constitution and all this stuff. And they said, well, we'd like you to reconsider. And he said, nope. So they left. And then all at once, he was being sued in almost every country of the world. You remember when Microsoft had those lawsuits, trade and this and that, and everything else. And then they went back and saw him again.
They were talking about breaking up the company at one point. If you recall that.
Yeah. So they went back and saw him again. I heard this from somebody, and he said, Bill, how's it going? He said, not too good. I'm getting hassled on every front. He said, my company's being threatened with being wiped out. And they said, you don't seem to understand. We tried to warn you. We knew the wolves were after you. You know, we didn't do any of this, but we can help you. We can, if you work with us, we have the power, the punch to get these people to back the heck off, because we can do it all under national security. Now, if you want our protection, jump on board and we'll treat you real good, but we'll run interference for you. And all we need is just every little once in a while, when there's a national security case, we need your help, because people can smuggle nukes in, people can do this. this terrorism thing is getting out of hand. If you're a real American, you'll trust us. We cannot tell you everything that we're going to do, and we can't tell you why, because it's all covered under national security. But you have to trust us, and we will take care of you. And so he said, okay, fine, because he knew that he was done otherwise.
Well, you know, we'll see how this shakes out with the CEO of Apple, who's being harassed by the FBI right now to de-encrypt iPhones. I think it's a big
it's fraud. A ruse. It's not.
Yeah, true. I think it is.
They, you know, the NSA, as you know, and nobody needs to tell you this, you know more than anybody else, every chip that's ever been made in the United States has back doors at numerous ones, and the NSA is involved in the design of every single one, and they have this stuff burned right into it.
Well, you know, that goes, that wasn't always the case. That changed when a company called Cadence Systems came out with a set of standardized design rules. And whether the engineer is aware or not, what he's designing, those backdoors are being built in regardless of what his design states. In the old days, it used to take a really, really smart guy 3 to 6 months to sit down and design any electronic parts, any semiconductor parts. And designers were valued. And they turned that profession into a commodity by having these standardized design rules. You just tell the machine what it wants, and it puts together the circuitry for you, and here's your design, here's your mass sets, here's what you have to do, here's your whole formula, how you have to work, make it work. This is for CMOS, this is for NMOS, you know, there's just, it's all there. And it's fascinating that how that changed and how that was corrupted by that that innovation of standardized design rules is what allowed that.
Well, yeah, it's all a ruse. They can get into anything anytime. It's just to keep the public, give them a sense of power, like, you know, feel like, oh, there's somebody fighting for you.
Well, let me say this about that, because I've been working with a group that's getting ready to offer a 384 encryption, so that on your cell phone, if the other cell phone that you're talking to also has the encryption program, you can talk openly, and the NSA can't crack it. Same thing with computer to computer. What comes out of your computer goes over the internet. The other party intercepts it. If they've got the encryption key, they can decipher it. And if not, the NSA can't. But that's coming out as a product. It's in the process of being productized right now, and it should be available to the public here very, very soon. And I think that one of the biggest buyers of this is going to be, number one, the Department of Defense. and then number two, I think, is a lot of American business is going to do it, because they're tired of getting hacked and having their intellectual property stolen by competitors, namely the Chinese.
Right. Well, Mossad stole mine. You know, they stole other people's for years, you know. But, you know, all NSA stuff goes downloaded by satellite to Tel Aviv, has been for years. The Chinese don't need to download it because they can hack in easily. But let me ask you this. Isn't there a law being proposed in Congress right now to make that illegal, what you're talking about, private encryption?
I don't know. But
yeah, I heard they're going to try. I think they're frightened of it.
Well, this is going to be an offshore company. And you know, where the laws of the U.S. don't affect their business model.
I think it's a great idea. Do you have any idea of what the price range on it might be?
It's going to be extremely affordable. Probably less than $19.95 a month.
Oh wow!
You know, it'll be very, very affordable. Something everybody's going to want to have, so yeah, that you'll be able to have private dialogue, private conversation. And really, you know, they can pass a law, but the argument against the law is that what amendment is it that says we have the right, I think it's the Fourth Amendment, we have the right to security on our person and in our papers.
Right.
And so if we don't have the right to have a private conversation with someone who we know and trust, then what do we have?
Well, that's right. But of course, they've trashed the Constitution. As you know, since 1933, every president has continually signed, you know, a presidential directive saying that we're in an emergency status in the United States under emergency, so that technically exempts the Constitution. Every single president, I hope that Kennedy didn't, but I wouldn't be surprised. I've been told every single one did, but...
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
well, but that's living a lie. You know, and that's what's it wrong
is.
With this.
It is.
That's what's wrong with this country. We've been living lies for a very long time, and there is no state of emergency. That or it's a perpetual state of emergency. In which case, how relative is the Constitution to begin with? And I think we need to get back. See, we all go around living in this fantasy that the Constitution really matters. But what you've just stated, if there are ongoing states of emergency where the Constitution has been suspended, why do they keep telling us this, that we have a Constitution that it matters?
Well, that's right. And, of course, there's nothing in the Constitution that allows them to do all that.
I just got a note from one of the principals of the encryption. It's free. It's going to be offered. It's going to be offered for free. And he said we'll have to talk and give free downloads with other packages of other products and stuff.
Okay, that'll be because I suppose he'll have all kinds of advanced stuff, and the corporations can pay for all the additional stuff.
Well, what you do is you charge the corporations a licensing fee so that they can take everything within their intranet, everything intercompany, and encrypt it so that the company can speak to itself because they all have the key. But any hacker comes in and tries to get in, they can't get in. Even if they do get in, they can't understand what they're doing or what they're saying. That's the beauty of this. And it's a 384 encryption, so it would take the NSA decades to break the code.
Well, the sooner the better. I hope it comes out soon.
Well, like I said, it's a partner and a listener, and he's you know what I'm saying here. Excuse me, I still have a bit of cough from my illness of a couple weeks ago. This cough.
Yeah,
is
I know who you're talking about, and I have a lot of respect for him. And it's just this guy's a genius. This would really be something if you can get this out there soon. Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, the NSA and their, you know, $10 billion fusion centers, they're not going to know whether to shit or go blind.
No.
And the key is to get it out there, get it everybody's hands as quickly as possible. I mean, really let this thing proliferate like wildfire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, oh my God, all of a sudden we've got 50 million people in the U.S. who are using encryption to talk to each other. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
It's not some simplistic encryption. It's not a 64 encryption. It's not a 128, but it's a 384 encryption, and the 512 is already on the drawing board. So they're planning ahead to make this, you know, more as quantum computing becomes closer, the encryption challenges are going to have to become more complex.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of quantum computers, how far has this gone? Canadian company, was it D or whatever was the name of it, that was marketing quite an expensive unit. Is that caught on to other other manufacturers? Do you know?
Well, I know that there are a lot of people who are exploring it. There are there's a lot of R&D behind closed doors going on right now about this. What the state of the art is, I couldn't tell you accurately right now. I can make some inquiries and try to find out, but I couldn't tell you accurately what the
state of the art is. But there's going to be some big money in it for the people that get it down, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first guy who's got one that works and works faster than light speed, it's going to be able to process lots and lots of money.
Yeah, yeah. And all the corporations are going to want it too immediately if it works. That's right. And then it'll spread to homeowners, and private.
Well, exactly, spread to homeowners and private users. And what you do is that you sell a business a license. You base the licensing fee on what's their annual revenue and what's their number of employees. And you make a combination of those two things. They pay a license. All of their internal communication is now secure from hackers. No one else can decrypt it except them. And it's really a beautiful business model. I watched that thing on 60 Minutes about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks, where U.S. businesses were complaining that all of their intellectual property is being stolen by the Chinese. And they identified who they were. They identified a team of 12 Chinese colonels and generals who were in charge of this systematic looting of American intellectual property from American companies. And this encryption that's coming available, this Icon Messenger, will prevent that. It will they might be able to hack in the system, but all the data they get, they will not be able to read it. So it sort of defeats the whole purpose of why do you hack.
Right, but I think the Mossad, since all NSA stuff is downloaded directly to Tel Aviv, I think, and we know the Mossad has had a history of selling intellectual property to the highest bidder, especially China. I would bet you that these generals have a direct pipeline to all the NSA stuff through Israel.
Well, what happened is the generals got caught. U.S. Counterintelligence caught what the Chinese generals were doing, and the Chinese reorganized, and these guys all got demotions and stuff. Then they moved it over to their intel agency. They took it away from the military and gave it to the intel guys. And the intel guys said, "Come on, move over, boys. Let the pros handle this.
Get this out faster. Yeah, get this into our manufacturing system faster. These guys are too slow."
Now here's a compromise. On text, 512 is readily available. That's not the issue. But when you use 512 on voice, there's too many delays. It builds in delays. But the 384, you and I can have a conversation like we're talking now, and it's instantly encrypted so that all they get is noise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what was the government using with their Mark IV, those briefcase phone jammer thing?
I don't know particularly what you're talking about, but right now the NSA encrypts at 384. That's what their own encryption standard is. So we're going to match that standard for all voice transmissions and try to exceed it on text.
Yeah, I'd known a guy once that had a little suitcase type thing that he would talk through, and it was a scrambler. It would scramble and then descramble, mm-hmm. but the sound quality was kind of weird, crackled. Stuff.
Well, I tell you what I used to have back in the day. I had a briefcase size voice stress analyzer.
Oh yeah, those are good.
So whenever you're having a conversation with someone, you can watch it real time. And if they're, so where were you last night? Oh, I just went out and did this and that. really? Is that, are you sure that's what you did? I had a briefcase size one. Cost me about $10,000 back in the day.
Yeah.
But it was a very helpful tool, and the ones they have now are even better. All right, I hear our next break, so we'll be right back, folks. More with Preston James right after this short break. Stick with us. Well, good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com, also on freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. It's Thursday, March 10th, 2016, and my guest today is a writer, contributor, sometime editor of Veterans Today, Dr. Preston James. Preston, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Mike.
So anyway, what do you want to talk about next? What else is on your mind?
Well, I just put an article up on VT called Psychotronic Firewalls Against Public Truth. It's a summary of all the psychotronic actions taken against the American people, which really constitutes a secret electronic war. Now, it's been going on since 1992, but probably long before that. And I think that the most sinister part about it is that we're being attacked through non-invisible or non-visible means. And this is really quite sinister because the devices now exist, which can be ground-based, can be based on aircraft, on drones and satellites, where most of the transmission is done from, that can actually entrain moods and affect people. Those people with very, very strong character, very stubborn people, strong-willed people, people with certain kinds of ADD, people that smoke marijuana or use other drugs tend to be somewhat resistant to the effects of it. Nobody knows exactly why, but I do know that people with the strongest will seem to be the most resistant. But it's quite sinister. I've seen the effects of it. I know people that are targeted. I have one individual I've been trying to help, Mark Nowitzki, who is targeted. I've swept his house. I know what he's up against. He's targeted from multiple directions. Two of the transmissions came from the area of the FBI, which is not too far from his house, the new FBI building, antennas on top of the building, and also from another place called ODE, which controls all the smart meters. When I tried to take the actual degree readings to focus in on the map on them, then they shut down, which means that they were surveilling us too. So we know that these inductive transmissions can create higher rates of cancer in some people. We know that they have handheld devices that can be used to stop a person's heart. It's called the Venus device. They've had it for over 20 years. We believe that Andrew Breitbart was murdered with this, was shot in the chest with this. There have been many, many people dying of heart attacks that had no prior history, you know, that are taken out this way. It has a range of, the Venus device has a range up to 100 feet. What we don't know is if it was from alien ET technology or not. I suspect it is from the name. The person that really knows about all this stuff won't talk about it too much because I'm sure he's been put in his place. He's Dr. Thomas Bearden, Colonel Bearden. Maybe you've heard of him.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Dan Winter is a friend and, peer of Tom Bearden. Tom Bearden's a really sharp guy.
Okay. No kidding.
Tom Bearden is most famous for his work on zero-point energy.
That's right.
And you know, he's way up there on that. He's probably one of the leading minds to that. I've heard his health is not good, but I don't know.
Well, he of course patented a an energy device that puts out more. You have to put some energy through it, but it actually generates more electricity than goes into it. So-called over-unity device, and actually got a patent on it. They manufactured it. Now I heard that over time the magnets wore out so that it lost its efficiency, but that could all be misinformation. I really don't know. The talk on the street was that he was somewhat bridled, and he was apparently had signed a number of security agreements so that he was limited as to what he could say or write or talk about. But I think the man knows a lot more than what he's disclosed publicly.
I think you're absolutely right about that. In fact, I'm sure of it.
And I think he's a good guy too. So, on this thing of zero point energy, a lot of this stuff is over my head. You know a lot more about it than I do about the Josephson junctions and all this. I know an individual that has a pretty good background on this, but is it true, Mike, that there's a number of countries experimenting with this? A number of them have independently discovered this, and we're right on the verge of seeing this stuff start breaking out everywhere, like weeds growing in the garden.
As far as over unity type devices and other it's really hitting critical mass right now around the world. I know Keshe Foundation has been involved in very, very heavily. There's a guy up in Coos Bay in Oregon named Hutchinson who's got a demonstrable device that I've been invited to go see, but it's a couple hours away drive, but I have to make time to go do it. But there are a number of people and inventors out there who are coming up with these technologies, and I really think that, you know, for a long time these technologies have been so suppressed, and the oil companies came in and forced the company into bankruptcy, bought the intellectual property as part of the package, and it just disappeared. And now people have gotten wise to that, and they're keeping a lower profile, but these devices are proliferating. And now here's the caution. Whenever this happens, there's going to be some charlatans and some scamsters out there, so be aware of those. But you know, if there's 1 out of 100 works, that's all we need. We just
need
to have one that works. It's the same thing with UFO sightings. You know. You go on YouTube and type in UFO sightings. You're going to get 200,000, recordings. Everybody's got a cell phone with a camera in it now, right?
Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe 999 of them are bogus, but if only one's real, it still proves what we've been saying all along, that there's something, someone else out there. And it's the same thing with these free energy devices. We have to turn over every rock. We have to investigate every possibility. And, and like I said, we can't afford to overlook anything.
Well, do you think that the oil companies can effectively stomp it out wherever it occurs? Do they have enough resources to stop it? Let's say that it shows up in Iran. Let's say it shows up in China. Let's say it shows up in other countries. Do they have the resources to quash it like they used to?
I think they used to. I think they're losing their grip. And see, part of the thing is we've all been told about this, you know, peak oil, you know, all
yes.
that. Well, yeah. It's been proven now that oil is a self-generating substance that comes out of the earth itself. It comes up from the mantle. I don't know the exact process.
It's
it's
a mineral like water, right? Yeah.
So that, you know, the every year, I mean, the last 3 years in a row, they've discovered 40% more known reserves. Every year, three years running. So we've got 128% more oil than we did 3 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, that was a big line. Of course, they had one of the world's biggest discoveries in the Rocky Mountains a few years back. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Yes, monstrous. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's so much oil, it's pathetic. But, you know, they've tried so hard to keep the price.
Well, that's just it. They've tried to create situations of scarcity. And just this week, Iran announced that they're going to double their output from 1 million barrels a day to 2 million barrels a day. To you know, get the market you know, fully saturated. They want to make sure that there's oil available. Now, what to watch for next, particularly in this country? Look out for refinery fires.
Yeah,
look out for explosions. Look out for pipeline problems.
Oh, sure.
They're going to create reasons to jack your price back up to $3-4 a gallon again. I mean, we got down to like $1.63 here, yeah. and now they're back up to $1.85.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I predicted a couple years ago, when this Iran nuclear deal gets put to bed, the Iranian oil comes on the market, we're going to see gas prices at $1.49 a gallon. Well, the bad guys aren't finished yet. They look for them to do some more hijinks. They're going to blow up the refineries and say, oh, gee, we're sorry, we lost refinery capacity. The price has to go up. You know, look, that pipeline. Remember back there was in Arizona, the Kinder Morgan pipeline had a problem, and California couldn't get gasoline. It went up to $5 or $6 a gallon when it was like $1.89 or something.
Yep.
And it went up overnight. Oh, well, we had a pipeline problem. We have to raise everybody's prices. Well,
and that oil tanker crashed too. Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about the Valdez.
Yeah.
Well, all of these things, these are hijinks. These are what these guys do. They'll do anything to prop up the price. And so, you know, all I can say is, folks, mark my words, within 30 days, you're going to see a refinery fire someplace in this country. You're going to see one. Oh, it's going to be a great disaster. We lost 15% of output for the nation with this fire. Everybody's got to pay a higher price now. And, you know, you can blame that on the Koch brothers, Koch brothers, where they are, K-O-C-H. Those guys, they done it.
That's right.
It's going to be their scam, okay, because that's the market they're in. That's what they do.
That's right.
And they create these situations where they create bottlenecks, they create pinch points in order to drive the prices higher. That's how they play the game. This is not a free market. This is a very engineered market. There's nothing free about this market. So, you know, change your mental image of the U.S. being a free market. It's engineered, it's contrived, and it's controlled. But it's not controlled by who you think it is. It's controlled by private parties behind the scenes who are willing to do what it takes to make the extra few bucks. And I'll give you an example. This is a great example. The Bond movie, Daniel Craig, I think it was Quantum of Solace.
Yep.
Where they had the plan where – no, it wasn't Quantum of Solace. It was Casino Royale. Casino Royale. It was the first with him in it, where he prevented that new airliner from coming. They were going to blow it up with a tanker on the field. They're going to blow it up. Meanwhile, that guy, Le Chef, shorted the stock because they were going to debut the new airliner. He shorted the stock on the company that was manufactured the airliner. He was thwarted. Bond stopped it, and that's why Le Chef had to go out and raise the money through the card game in Monte Carlo, and that's why Bond had to be there to stop him, because he had gambled and he lost because his attempt to control that thing. That's what goes on in our society on a daily basis, folks. That's how rigged the system is. And there's people out there who are ruthless, who will do these type of things so they can stay profitable. They can't compete in an honest manner, so they have to cheat. And that's who we're dealing with here. And we're supposed to have laws and things, but as we all know, the parties that enforce the law are bought and paid for in this country by the same people who break them.
Well, that's right. Of course, you've probably heard the rumors that these oil companies are pigs. They don't need to sell gasoline and oil because they have a 60% of their market apparently is plastics and all these pharmaceuticals and all these other products. Have you heard that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They don't need the gas to be profitable. You know, they really don't.
That's another one of my pet peeves here. You know, is plastics. We've got this specific plastic patch going on out there. It's bigger than the state of Texas now. It's putting, you know, plastics in every ecosystem around the world. You know, micro-sized plastic particles are everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's time that, you know, why should guys like you and me, why should we have to recycle? Why should we have to separate our plastics and our cans and bottle? You know, I think some of it's good, but I also think that there is something to be said for responsible packaging. You know, I've used this example on the air before. I bought a new set of headsets for the radio show, and I got this, it came in this plastic tomb, I'll call it. I had to use a scissors to get into it. I'm a pretty strong guy, but I couldn't get this damn thing open. And you know, you look at this thing, and this thing's going to be around for 100,000 years. It's never going to go away. And so what are you going to do, bury it in some landfill someplace? No, that's not what you're supposed to do. Let's use things that are renewable. Let's use something that you can put it in your compost pile in the backyard. It'll turn back into the fiber, the natural product it came from. And let's use wood fibers. Let's use hemp fibers. Let's use whatever is renewable. We've got to stop this.
Well, they've got the ability to make plastics like that, as you know. They have biodegradable plastics. They just don't. They just want to maximize profits. They're just, you know, they're just gluttons for money. That's all.
Well, you know, we can't afford to treat the planet the way we treat it.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Two generations of human race is gone if we keep on this path.
That's right. That's
I mean,
right.
It's two generations. You know, I mean, I've got my kid. His kids probably won't survive.
No,
If he ever has any, the ecosystem will be so damaged. So, you know, it's time that we as a people, as a race, as humanity collectively.
But don't get me started on plastics, Mike, because when you start, it's an absolute nightmare when you start checking into the available scientific research on endocrine disruptors.
Oh, well, that's a big one. That's all the BHP plastics, that every water bottle, everything that your food comes in, your orange juice, everything, liner of tin cans, you know, your aluminum beer cans, all of it have BHP in there. They're endocrine disruptors. And what these do to people is they make women fat and they make men feminine.
That's right.
That's what they do, and they're everywhere. They're ubiquitous. They have spread these things out everywhere. You wonder why there's no manly men out there? Is because because it's turning this stuff is turning their grapes to raisins. You wonder why women are so robust, say fat these days?
Yeah,
because this thing is telling their body that estrogen, baby, you're bathed in it, and you know that's what makes them chubby. It is. Yeah. It's true. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this.
Yeah.
But back to my point, and that is we've got to put pressure on these people to change the paradigm. You know, I don't want this plastic tomb this thing came in. I don't want it. I don't want to throw it away. I don't want to bury it in a landfill someplace. I want something that's responsible. I mean, make it out of cardboard, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, cardboard, if you bury cardboard for a month and a half, it's gone. It disappears.
That's
you know,
right.
It turns back into whatever it came from. And, you know, Oregon's legalized marijuana. So is Washington State. So is Colorado. So is, there's another dozen or so states talking about legalizing it. Why not go back into wholesale hemp production for
absolutely
for fiber, you know, hemp for fiber. I mean, you know, the whole thing that this it was DuPont who sought to outlaw hemp production because they wanted their new product nylon to displace hemp as the choice of rope. So they had to create a shortage of hemp and provide plentiful nylon fibers.
So they did it by law. That's right. Yeah.
They did it by laws. I mean, there's a number of these things that happened. You know, the whole thing, prohibition in the 1920s. You know, I've talked about this several times on the radio, but it's a good story. It's worth repeating. Standard Oil of New York was in a dither because Detroit had not standardized on petroleum for their engines or alcohol for their engines. Well, if they would have went to alcohol for their engines, Standard Oil would have been out of business. So they spent a lot of money to create the temperance movement, create alcohol is evil, we've got to ban alcohol from coast to coast. And they did. They were successful. They got alcohol banned. You couldn't produce alcohol in the USA for nothing. The last thing Standard Oil wanted was some farmer to take his slag off his corn crop after he harvested the corn and fermenting it to put in his truck or his tractor to run his farm equipment with alcohol he could produce himself. That cuts them out. So they made alcohol illegal. And they went through, you know, what, 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know how long prohibition was, where it was gangland war because people still wanted to have a shot of bourbon or whatever now and then. And once that Detroit had standardized all their tooling on petroleum-based engines, guess what? Prohibition was repealed, and people could drink alcohol again. It was no longer so bad. But Standard Oil of New York was responsible for that lock, stock, and barrel. I can document it. I can prove it.
What were they afraid of?
Well, they were afraid of alcohol. I mean, if you know, they didn't want farmers producing alcohol that could compete against them. They didn't want.
I mean, was it cheaper? Was it easier to operate? What advantages did it have over gasoline?
It didn't require them.
So they could make the farmer could make it himself. Then
he could make it himself. He could make himself and sell a surplus. You know, I mean, everybody could have it. You know, it ended their monopoly is what it did, and that's why they had to kill it.
And you know, isn't it interesting that all these laws that are passed for these large corporations, the individuals paying the payoffs and doing all this, they all are members of these secret societies. It's all linked to these occult societies in this worldwide network of pedophiles. Isn't it sad, you know?
Well, it is. It's heartbreakingly sad that we have allowed ourselves to become enslaved in this way. And that's all it is. We let this happen. And excuse me, Preston, it's that cough again. But you and I have talked about this before. There's something else at work here. Because I can look at, like I said, I give the example of the 5-year business plan. And something out there is using a 500-year business plan, and it ain't me.
That's right.
Because, you know, my lifespan is limited. You know, this, average lifespan in this country, what, 75, 80 years maybe?
Yep.
You know, the first 18 years you're in school, if you or maybe the first 23, 24 years in school if you get an education, then you work till you're 65, so you've really got a 40, 42-year effective working life. So, you know, how do you design and implement a 500-year plan if your entire filter of experience, your entire functional ability is only 40-plus years? You can't. And so there's something else at work that I look at you and your work on this, on the Third Force. Something else is out there, something else that thinks in a longer time scale than what is humanly possible.
Well, it's intergenerational. We know that. And we also know that this force is allied with these secret societies and the leaders in these secret societies. And we also know that in these secret societies, you have a top leadership that is inducted into these secrets and the occult, but you have the lower membership that are useful idiots. So, like in the Masons, the top high Freemasons have names for the people that are not in the upper circle. They call them porch monkeys. So really these secret societies operate as cover for the people that really run them, who actually are, as you know, there's a hierarchy, but there's stages of initiation. If you want to enter the power elite, you want to be in the establishment, you have to be willing to be compromised and get in all kinds of situations where you do naughty things and get filmed. And if you want to go higher, you got to do extreme stuff. So when you get to the top, you got to rape little kids, you got to hunt them on hunting farms and shoot them and slice them and dice them and chop them up, you know, and that's, we're getting reports. That's what they do. And do I want to believe this stuff? Absolutely not. Do I believe it? Yes, I do.
Hmm. So what confirmation, what proof do you have? You know, I mean, because we all hear this.
Well,
I've heard the same rumors, heard the same things, but I don't have any. I've not seen anything concrete. You know, there are pedophile rings. You know, VT's done a good job blowing the lid off this whole Scalia thing that he was involved with. Then he was subsequently murdered as a result. You know, these things are, you know, like I said, they're so incredible that nobody.
Who are you saying? Who was murdered as a result? Who was that?
Scalia.
Oh, yes, yeah, you're right. So, well, I had a very high-ranking intel official stay at my house as a guest for a weekend. He was a private attorney for one of the DCIs, and the director of the CIA, and he told me all this stuff and showed me files and stuff, and he told me about undercover people that had infiltrated this satanic cult in Chicago. And it's pretty sinister stuff that they had body parts floating up in Lake Michigan, and they found out why they were doing a human sacrifices in this one location, and then chopping the people up and throwing them out into the lake. So yeah, it was all occult stuff, and it was all initiation type stuff. So
we have 200,000 kids a year go missing in this country.
Well, some of them, I think, are abducted too, aren't they?
I don't know, but I know that a lot of kids go missing. There's always an Amber Alert someplace. They just disappear, and we don't have enough milk cartons for them. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Well, I was once told by a high-ranking official, "Don't ever take your family or go stay in one of those federal parks," because that's where a lot of the people are abducted from. You ever heard that?
Yes, I have. I've heard some horror stories about that.
Yeah.
And that's a very, you know, large, well-known, I can't even call it a secret anymore because it's out there in the common good. There are statistics to support this, that, you know, in the federal parks, that the people go missing all the time.
Yeah. So something's going on. You're very correct. It's intergenerational. There's certain, I think I call it the New World Order globalist agenda. It's an evil agenda. It's an anti-human agenda. And I think it involves the weakening, the sickening of the human race, and the eventual eugenic destruction of the human race. I think they're doing all kinds of various things, these endocrine disruptors, vaccinations that have contaminants. I think they're electronically harming us. I think they're releasing radiation. As you know, was it Bob Nichols, or one of the VT writers, has had a recurring article on their radiation counts?
Yeah, I've seen that, yes.
And in one of the articles he wrote, he said that it appears that they're doing regular discharges from the nuclear power plants, illegal discharges. So the radiation, for whatever reasons, whether it's just Fukushima or whatever, the radiation counts are rising. They're way too high. The rates of cancer now, apparently across the United States now, average 1 out of 7 during your lifetime. And in some areas, they're 1 out of 3, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's pretty doggone high.
It is. It's a lot.
So it seems as if this entity wants to thin the herd and then eventually get rid of us and have a new hybrid race of whatever they are, androgens or whatever. And
well, it appears that a lot of what's going on, it just from a casual observer, it looks like terraforming to me.
You're correct. Yep, and there's even more to this. I don't know how far you want to go.
Let me give you an example. Everybody knows who L. Ron Hubbard is, right?
Yep.
The guy from Scientology.
Yep.
He wrote a science fiction book called Battlefield Earth, and John Travolta made a really terrible movie about it. You know, it was just an awful movie. But if you read the story, how they depopulated the Earth was by using what we call chemtrails. they wanted to kill off the native population, and they use chemtrails. They use automated devices that flew around 24/7. Every square inch of the planet was poisoned essentially with something that would kill humans. And so it wiped out, 99% of the humans, and the feral humans that were left, weren't very smart, or most of them weren't. And like I said, it was a science fiction story. John Travolta, probably his worst role ever.
I'm a
Travolta fan, by the way. I like him. I loved him in Broken Arrow. God, that was a great movie.
Well, yeah, but let's talk about the reason for the movie. Battlefield Earth. The reason for the movie was the same reason that they made it so crappy, is the ruling elite, they believe they're Luciferians, they believe there's rules of play, and they believe that they have to inform the humans they have to inform them what they're going to do ahead of time. So they believe this constitutes consent. That's why they have the Georgia Guidestones and that. So I think this movie was informed consent. But they wanted it crappy, so nobody'd believe it.
Gotcha. Hey, well, okay. Preston, we got our break. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes, folks, for the final half hour with Dr. Preston James. We'll be right back right after this. Well, good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com. Also on freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2016. And my guest is Dr. Preston James. Welcome back, Preston. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. So you've got about 25 minutes left. What other earth-shaking things?
Actually, Mike, I have to leave at 1:45.
Oh, I know you do. I know you have to leave a little early.
Okay, but I don't know how far down the rabbit hole you want to go, but I've been told by good sources I've seen some peripheral proof of this. I have not. I mean, I'm not in the White House. I don't go in there and all this, but I don't go in the Pentagon. But I've been told that there are alien hybrids that look like humans that have actually worked their way up through the system as children and actually are stationed in the Pentagon, in the White House, in various places, in various advisory roles. Is that completely wacky stuff, or do you believe those rumors?
You know, Jim, I don't know. I keep an open mind, and I look for factual support of things. Is it possible? Yeah, absolutely possible. Is it plausible? I don't know, because we've been so conditioned to not accept anything about that ETs don't exist. There are no aliens. The only aliens we have are illegal from Mexico. that's kind of what we've been told. Look at this guy this week who was arrested at the White House. He shot a guy who was a minister at a TED for a Ted Cruz some blessing or something at a Ted Cruz rally in Idaho. He shot the guy six times and got on an airplane and flew to Washington. He was arrested on the White House for throwing an object over the White House wall, the wall surrounding the White House. What he threw over was a thumb drive. And on the thumb drive, the information is that Obama wasn't doing enough. He was cooperating with aliens in the White House and this kind of stuff. So, how nutty is this guy? Is this guy nuts or is he real? They're trying to portray him as being crazy as a bedbug.
Yeah.
But, because of his actions. Like I said, I don't know what I don't know. I try to be discerning on all this. But whenever I see a guy like this and how they pilloried him in the news, they made him look like a fool, like he's absolutely mentally unstable. I can't accept that this guy's unstable. I need to talk to this guy. I need to meet this guy. I need to see, is he for real? Why did he take such drastic actions? What compelled him to do such things? It may be simple mental illness. It may be, but it may not.
Right.
It may not, because, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know this guy. He may be certifiable. He may be, like I said, crazy as a bedbug. But I don't know, because what he's saying is a lot of what circulates in the alternate media? Or was he just set up as a plant because the alternate media is fighting hard for full disclosure, and the powers that be don't want disclosure? So they're using their old playbook of having some mind control guy do something like this, and then they parade him in front of the news media and say, "Hey, well, look, he's crazy. You can't believe a thing. You know, there are no aliens. There's nothing. Just keep moving along, folks. Nothing here, nothing to see. Keep moving, keep moving."
Well, we have this problem, though. We have all these secret underground bases, 140 of them. We have them. We have them linked by high speed, high speed rail. And I don't just theorize this. I know this for a fact, that somebody that's been in them and seen them and ridden on them. So yes, they're real. And we also have the Dulce base, where they've got, you know, various hybridization programs going. So we know there's all these top secret, you know, projects going on. We know that there are various parts of our secret defense establishment that have been consorting with aliens since probably the early 50s, even the early 40s before Roswell. We know that stuff has been going on. They cannot deny it. But what it all means and where it's gone, that's what we don't know.
No, it's not. You know, I was with Gordon Duff in Syria when we sat down with the Syria High Command of their military, and Gordon gave them a full briefing of everything we know, and, you know, documented 17 different alien species and shared the information with them very openly. I was there for that.
What was their reaction? Did they freak out, or?
They knew more than we know. They were well aware of some of it, and other stuff was new to them. But they had far more information than what the average American walks around with. The rest of the world is pretty hip to this. You know, I wish Putin would come out with something. And release that. And I'll tell you what, if Putin's going to release stuff, come on. You know, Vlad, release the 9/11 stuff. Give us John McCain's files from Vietnam when he was in the Hilton, the Songbird McCain, and give us all of your UFO stuff. Let's see what you got. Let's make this public. Let's make all of this public knowledge. It's time to end the age of secrecy. Needs to end. It needs to be the age of openness and transparency. That's what we need to be moving towards.
Wouldn't that be something if he unloaded all those files?
I think it would. I think it would be really a coup. I know it would bring down the Western powers that be. And I'll tell you what, I'm just so tickled. You know, I mean, that white paper that you and I wrote a year ago in January about the price of oil, get it under $20 a barrel,
and you'll
break the banks.
Yeah,
that's what they're fighting against right now. They're fighting it, and like I said earlier in the show, Iran doubled their production from a million barrels a day to 2 million barrels a day. They can't fight this. They started this little shoving contest.
Yeah, they started it, didn't they?
They did.
Oil companies did. Yeah.
They did, and I just think it's hysterical. I mean, you know, we saw through the end game on that one, and you know, I still stick by my prediction that oil is going to go less than $20 a barrel. Yeah. They're doing everything they can do to prop it up. They're doing everything they can do. Yeah. They're trying to, you know, like I said, folks, watch out for refinery fires. Those are coming. 30 days or less, we're going to have refinery fires in this country. Yeah. You will see. I promise.
And it'll be ISIS terrorists that do it or something.
They'll find something. You know, they don't do anything with just one purpose. They'll try to hang a multitude of purposes on it. You know, we need more Homeland Security budget, so we better make sure ISIS did it, so that we can get more money to control the American people while we raise the price of gasoline at the pump for them.
Yeah, the last thing I'd like to discuss with you before I go, Mike, is your take on all these efforts to disarm. Why are they trying to get the American guns? And is there any chance for success for them?
I don't think so. I think we've got too many people who are armed and with too many firearms, that if they started going door to door, I don't think that the police would last a week after that. If they started making organized raids and on gun owners and stuff, other gun owners would retaliate. We've already seen some of these actions where a guy will walk up in the street and just point a gun at the cop's head and blow right through the window, blow his head off.
That's right. Well, that's happened, three or four occasions?
Yeah, we've already seen that starting to happen. I would be willing to bet you dollars to donuts that if they start organized raids against gun owners, if the word of that gets out, that then gun owners, then the war is on internally. because the police are no longer your friend, they become your enemy. Then it becomes clear that we're living in a government that it does not honor the Constitution, that we are living under a state of emergency that they created when there is a false state of emergency. Let me say that.
That's right. Well, it just seems to me that the really sad part is you can have some fat, wrinkled, old, criminally insane occult master sitting in a wheelchair being wheeled around and giving orders, and because the most of the world is organized into this hierarchy of evil, some stupid neighborhood cop will go off duty and whack somebody just because he's been ordered to, or he'll cover something up. His police chief will be told national security covered up, but they have reached right down to the street. That really bothers me, that one moron sitting in it, one criminally insane, you know, evil son of a gun sitting in a wheelchair, one of three, can pull these strings. That really bothers me.
It should. It should, because, you know, they are a pestilence upon humanity, people like that. And, you know, the whole issue here, the unanswered question is, you've got this inner circle. You've got the top-level guys. Who do they report to? Who do they really report to? You know, who's really calling the shots here with these secret societies and all
this?
We
know who that is.
Well, you know, I'm asking the hypothetical question so you can answer it. Okay.
Well, I was told many years ago it was the Black Pope, the head of the Jesuits, who
But who does he answer to? Who's his boss?
To the old black nobility, a circle of 12 of the occult masters.
And keep going up the ladder.
Oh, they answer to – they claim – this is what they claim. They answer to Lucifer, that he comes to them, appears to them in person as Baphomet. That's what they claim. Do we have any proof of that? Do we have any pictures? No. But that's what the people – close to that have claimed.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's Baphomet. I don't know if it's
some alien.
That's what I don't know. And all I know, it is malevolent towards mankind, and that doesn't sit well with me.
And it's intergenerational, as you said. You were the first one to come up with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for that credit on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between that and my Khazarian mafia thing, I think we've done pretty good. got some good.
You got three. Yeah. But you've had a few other contributions, but the oil one was big because, you know, after that went up, it was your idea, but I helped you write the article. But after that article went up, a couple of days later, the Russians retaliated and lowered their price of oil. And to me, I think it was based on the article myself. We know for a fact that Putin has advisors to read every single thing that he publishes.
Well, when we were writing that article, Preston, we discussed that point directly. Said, boy, sure do hope Putin reads this. This is a white paper for him. But this is the model he's got to follow. If he wants to stop the aggression of the West, you have to break the banks. If you want to break the banks, you've got to get the price of oil below $20 a barrel. That's what's at work here. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, they may already be broken. We just don't know it. They could just be printing more and more money to cover themselves. I mean, we really don't know how deep the crisis is in the banking situation.
That's true. And Preston, you're out of time. I'm going to keep you on your time schedule. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Keep up the good work. All right.
You know, I'll do the best I can.
You're doing a great job. I appreciate it. Bye now.
Thanks, Preston. Bye-bye. All right, folks. We've got about 10, 12 minutes here, spare time. If anybody wants to dial in, I'm open for comments. The number is 310-421-4053. Again, the dial-in number is 310-421-4053. And I got my producer, Brett. A listener sent me a clip of Newt Gingrich on Fox News. I'm going to ask him to try to play that now if he can. Can you try that, Brett?
And now they're faced with a very real prospect of Donald Trump becoming the leader of the party, and it absolutely drives them crazy. They just cannot imagine sharing. Well, because he's an outsider. He's not there. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. He hasn't lived through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. And I think that they don't see him. They have no idea how to relate.
Hear that, Mike?
Yep, we heard it loud and clear. I hope the listeners did as well. But there you have it. That was Newt Gingrich on Fox News telling, I think it was Bill O'Reilly, that Trump is uncontrollable. They're afraid of him. He's not a member of the secret society. He hasn't been through the initiation rites. So, anyway, that's what's going on. So anyway, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 310-421-4053. And if nobody wants to call in, we can call it an early day. I don't mind that either. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. So I'll give it another minute or two, see if anybody wants to chime in. Or Brett and I might take off 10 minutes early. I know I could use a break. I've been talking for 2 hours. So, all right, Brett, what do you think? Think we got to call it a day?
Up to you, Mike. It's your show.
Eh, well, hey, come on. You're my backup guy here. I seek your counsel and opinion on many things. Let's take an early day off, okay? Everybody, you know, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. It was a fun show. Preston James is a great guest. Talked about a lot of interesting things, but that Gingrich clip we just played is up on YouTube. Anybody can go get it. Newt Gingrich, Bill O'Reilly, Trump is not a member of a secret society. It's out there, folks. That's why I think Trump might be our last best hope. So anyway, that's it. Let's call it a day, folks. Everybody have a nice evening, and we'll talk at you again next Tuesday. So everyone take care. And one more thing before I go. I just have to once again give thanks, because truly it is a privilege to sit behind this microphone and talk to each and every one of you. I get a lot of fan mail. I get a lot of people reach out and contact me and stuff. And I want to thank each and every one of you. It really is a privilege. This is a lot of work. It's kind of a pain in the hind end, if you know what I mean. But it is my honor and my privilege to be able to speak with you people a couple times a week. It really is. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Anyway, everybody have a nice evening. Bye-bye.